Better strap yourself in. It's time for the Howie Carr Show.
I plan on trying to win New Hampshire. I'm not here to come in second.
Both Elizabeth Warren and Joe Biden will not meet that 15% threshold. And as a result, they will be shut out of pledged delegates in the state of New Hampshire tonight.
We're going to be back in New Hampshire. We're going to be back there to defeat Donald Trump in November.
Nobody under 10% at this point in the process has ever went on to win the nomination and has ever really been, you know, competitive at the end.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
So something has happened in the last 48 hours. People have told me that they're giving Amy Klobuchar a second look.
I wonder why.
I am not going to sugarcoat it. We took a gut punch in Iowa.
You're a lying dog-faced pony soldier.
You cannot have 20, 30, 40, 50 clips in a weapon.
Are you concerned about the message that you're sending to New Hampshire by going to South Carolina?
Not at all.
And why are you so negative?
I'm not giving up on New Hampshire. Don't poke that in my face, okay, buddy?
Who's your captain? Howie Carr.
You know, we're counting on having the wind of New Hampshire at our backs. I've got a reservation to fly on to South Carolina tomorrow afternoon.
I am so sorry. That flight is canceled.
Former Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is expected to suspend his campaign.
And Diane and I are going to go home and rest and reflect on this outcome.
We're going to be fine.
You know, I am the math guy, and it is clear tonight from the numbers that we are not going to win this race. I am suspending my campaign for president.
Unchained and unstoppable.
President Trump last night had the highest voter turnout of any incumbent in four decades. He also had the highest percent of the vote of any incumbent in the past four decades. The enthusiasm's on President Trump's side. Democrats, by the way, have a dumpster fire.
Trump swabs, hacks, and moon bats beware. It's Howie Carr.
844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. We're going to try to take a lot of calls this hour. So there's so much news going on. We haven't been taking as many calls recently, but we're going to take more calls. But we do we do have an inordinate amount of sound to get to, and a lot more of a Biden little missteps, shall we say. But we've got a lot to get to. 844-500-4242. Let me just finish this Klobuchar story here. And again, the most famous Klobuchar story with her help is she was flying to South Carolina. This was 2008, and her aide was bringing her a meal to eat on the plane. So he came onto the flight. He was late. He was carrying all the luggage, of course. So he had his hands full. So he had the salad in a bag, and so he hands it to the senator, and she notices there's no utensils to eat it with. So he looks around, and for some strange reason, there's no forks or knives on the plane. That seems weird, but I guess that's the way it was. No one disputes the story. And so she gets really angry, and she takes out a comb and eats the salad with her comb. And then when she finishes eating the salad, she throws the comb at the aide and tells him to clean it so that she can use it in her hair again, which is another kind of weird twist, shall we say, to the story. Though rumors about Klobuchar's conduct have circulated for years, this is Vanity Fair, one staffer told BuzzFeed they were coming forward now out of a sense of public duty in advance of her 2020 announcement. The reason it matters is when I hear the descriptors of our current president and how he lacks responsibility and everyone is to blame and there's erratic behavior, name-calling, said the staffer. It's unfortunate, but you're also describing her. That's Amy Klobuchar. You think you'll be hearing about that tonight on MSNBC or
Howie, it seems like this piece is just combing through her past, and I don't like it.
Yes, it is, Grace. I think it is, Grace. Has someone bought you the new Cheap Bastard deal that we've got going with the massage, Grace?
No,
you were asking for one,
and I really need it. Like Amy Klobuchar, I am stressed out. And lest I get a massage soon, I might start eating things with combs.
Don't throw the comb at me, Grace. We'll try to get you one. If you listen, here's the deal: the gifts, we have gift certificates to the Body Rituals Wellness. It's in Dover, New Hampshire, and you can get a 90-minute massage with CBD oil or other or toward other services. We have $135 gift certificates for $67.50. That's 50% off. If you don't want the flowers. And the flowers are great for Valentine's Day. Your significant other will love a massage, a 90-minute massage, and it's usually $135 value. You can get it for $67.50. That's a hell of a deal. Their specialty at Body Rituals Wellness is meeting individual needs of each client using a mix of classic and alternative techniques like advanced massage, energy practices, light touch, and deep muscle manipulation therapies to provide each client with a therapeutic and holistic experience that exceeds general expectations of massage and body work. You think your female friends would like that from their boyfriends, Grace? Maybe Grace went away.
Yes, but no, they definitely would. And just a tip for everyone, get this now because you're going to want to be able to say you got something.
Yes.
Otherwise, there might be combs flying in your direction and hairbrushes.
Yeah. And it could and just print off the receipt from Howie Carr. Go to HowieCarrShow.com, click on store, order it, and you can print off the receipt. Here, honey, you can have a nice massage in scenic Dover, New Hampshire, in the Seacoast region. All right. 844-500-4242. Joe Biden had a problem with his text number again last night, or almost had a problem with it. Cut number 7, if we've got it.
Chipping and support our campaign. Text Joe 23. Excuse me, I got to get this right. Joe 20330.
And then, as I said earlier, it's like Slaughterhouse 5, the famous line, Billy Pilgrim has come unstuck in time. Joe Biden has come unstuck in time. He's confusing the primaries and the dates and the states. Cut number 9.
The people of Nevada are watching, and I want to make it clear we praise their diversity as a state, and I'm going to be out there seeing them very soon. Tonight, though, we just heard from the first two of 50 states. It's important that Iowa and Nevada have spoken, but look, we need to hear from Nevada and South Carolina and Super Tuesday states and beyond.
Iowa and Nevada have spoken, and now it's important we hear from Nevada and South Carolina. Is there an echo in here from Nevada? Nevada. Nevada. Okay, and again, he's unstuck in time, and here he is misremembering, as George Bush would say, the 2008 campaign. Cut 8.
Folks, you know, all those Democrats who won against incumbents, from Jimmy Carter to a guy named Clinton, to a guy named Obama, my good friend, guess what? They had overwhelming African-American support. Without it, nobody's ever won. No, really.
No, really. That's not malarkey. He defeated an incumbent, right? Yeah, 844-500-4242. And, you know, sometimes we think that there's a lot of low-info voters out there and that they're not paying attention if they're on MSNBC. But they, you know, sometimes they really do figure out what's going on. There was a woman in New Hampshire. This was an interesting exchange with an MSNBC reporter. And, you know, he was doing the usual man in the street. In this case, in New Hampshire, they do a lot of man in the diner. This was a woman, an MSNBC listener, and she's talking about how her vote was influenced. Her vote for Bernie was influenced by the MSNBC coverage. Cut 17.
I want to say the reason I went for Bernie is because of MSNBC. And
go on.
I think it is completely cynical to say that he's lost 50% of his vote from the last time when there were two candidates. Now there are multiple wonderful candidates who would be great presidents and people that we could, I think, that we can unify and get behind. But the kind of the stop Bernie cynicism that I heard from a number of people, I watch MSNBC constantly, so I heard that from a number of commentators, and so that just, it made me angry enough. I said, okay, Bernie's got my vote.
Keep talking, Bernie will be getting more and more votes. That's the lesson of that.
And now, an interview with the Emperor of Hate, Howie Carr.
This is Paul in North Andover, Mass.
This is Luana in Lexington, Massachusetts.
This is Lauren in Augusta, Maine, and this is the Howie Carr Show.
Orion Metal Exchange is the only precious metals company that I trust. Give them a call to get a free, no-obligation investment guide about protecting your future with an enduring investment in gold and silver. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain, including peace of mind, by calling now. Call them today at 800-912-2300. And with Orion, you'll get more metal for your money. Call 800-912-2300. Taylor, what's the poll question? What are the results thus far?
Which dog would you have voted for to win the Westminster Dog Show? Seba the Standard Poodle or Daniel the Golden Retriever?
Seba.
12% say Seba.
I'll tell you, if Whitey Bulger was still around, it wouldn't be 12%. Be a little more than 12% if you knew what was good for you. Even though he had miniature poodles, not standard poodles. All right, 844-500-4242. I want to play some Cynthia Nixon. Cynthia Nixon is she was the star of that show, Sex in the City. She was one of the supporting actresses, I guess you'd say, or one of the minor leads. And she ran for governor of New York, and I thought about, you know, I thought, would I vote for her? And then I thought, yeah, I would, against Cuomo. I don't like Cuomo. But then she'd say something stupid, and I'd say, what am I going to do? I don't know what I would have done if I was living in New York. But anyway, now she's campaigning with Bernie Sanders. So this is Cynthia Nixon. I think last night at the victory celebration in New Hampshire, cut 34.
Because of Bernie Sanders and because of what he has spent his life doing and how he has changed this country in the last 4 years, he has taught me and he has taught us as a country what we can ask for. We have made do with crumbs for so long.
Crumbs.
And Bernie has
crumbs.
Said, hey, we're starving in this country. We can't subsist on these crumbs anymore. Why can't we demand the whole pie? And that's what we're doing, and that's what we're going to get when Bernie Sanders is our next president.
Give me some pie! I want the whole pie! The Jeffersons only wanted a slice of pie, but I want the whole pie, and so does Cynthia Nixon. That was the 70s. It was enough to get a piece of the pie. Now we're going to get the whole pie. The whole pie. Lee, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Lee.
I hope it's pecan. I like pecan. Hey, you know, if it's free, it's for me. Howie, I watched Steyer walk into VB's interview, and first thing out of Steyer's mouth was, what's the VB stand for? Well, he doesn't give the same story you do. Let me just tell you that.
Yeah. Well, you can trust me, Lee. I'm not like the others.
So after he was doing Tulsi and Tulsi's crew and we're moving out, and one of the kids goes, VB. I go, yeah, you want to know what it stands for? And they all turn around. I said, Virgin Boy. But that's not why I called. I says, I went to vote, and there was this perfectly choreographed bunch of kids on the lawn where I vote, and they had signs, and they were all waving, and they were chanting, and they were all in rhythm, and it was, you know, whatever. It was loud, and I'm like, jeez, boy, are they enthusiastic? All for Buttigieg, Buttigieg, Buttigieg. So I go down to the bus, and I see the kids heading for the bus. They're going in shifts. I go, hey, where are you guys from? Marist High School in New Jersey. What the heck are they doing up here?
Marist, is that a Catholic high school, right?
Yeah. I said college, because that's in New York, right?
And yeah.
The kid goes, the handler goes, no, we're from Marist College, New Jersey. Marist High School, New Jersey. I said, are you voting? So I took a picture of the license. They go, oh, no, we're not voting. We're all high school kids. Who the heck would truck them up here?
I don't get the feeling, too, that Buttigieg is a real... I know he claims he's a Christian, but he doesn't seem to be that much of a First Amendment guy, if you know what I mean, you know? And he wants to legalize heroin and methamphetamines. I mean, I don't know. I don't know what a Catholic, what anybody from a Catholic high school would be supporting him for. That's weird. All right. Thanks for the call, Lee. That's interesting. George, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, George.
Yeah, Howie, how are you? So, you know, it's interesting because, you know, Biden's definitely done. Warren's definitely done because she's just a Me Too. So we have Bernie. He's not. That's why Carville is scared to death of him, right? Because of what the clip you just played. So Carville should be scared. So now you really got Buttigieg and Klobuchar. Klobuchar doesn't even have a nickname from Trump yet, right? Because she really hasn't been in the ether. I mean, she's now just getting a little oxygen in the room.
Yeah.
So once some of the stuff comes out like you're talking about, you know, it may be enough to do her in. But if I had to pick everyone right now out of it, I would say Klobuchar as the president, and I would pick, you know, Buttigieg as the Veep, right? Because he'll get a few LGBT votes. She'll get maybe some of the women votes, but she's just not that much of a socialist yet. But we haven't vetted her yet.
Did you think she was that impressed? Did you watch any of the debate on Friday night? They said she really shone in the debate, but wasn't it just the fact that the others were so lackluster?
No, in some really bad English, she's the least worst of them all because she's not.
Exactly. That's a good way to put it. Right. Yeah. I didn't. But I guess that was enough. That was enough in this debate and this primary. Thanks for the call, George. We'll take some more calls when we come back. I'm Howie Carr.
Live from the Matthews Brothers Studios.
You know, I am the math guy. And it is clear tonight from the numbers that we are not going to win this race. I am not someone who wants to accept donations and support in a race that we will not win. And so tonight, I am announcing I am suspending my campaign for president.
Oh, no.
I love you, Andrew.
I love you, too. Thank you, Andrew.
I love you, Andrew. I wanted to get $1,000 a month from you when you were elected president. He was big on the internet, not so big at the precincts level in New Hampshire yesterday. So we were playing some of Katie Turr's greatest hits in commemoration of her fine performance last night in New Hampshire, where she lamented the fact that her generation has to take out 30-year loans to buy cars. But that's not the first stupid thing that she's said. Earlier this month, she talked about how the Senate needed to be gerrymandered. Gerrymandering the Senate. I don't know how you would do that. No, she doesn't know either. But anyway, we've got a couple other of her greatest hits. This is from a year ago. She was talking. I guess this was around President's Day. Cut 29.
Happy President's Day.
You know, it is George Washington's Day here. Washington Day here in New York, unlike the rest of the country, because George Washington, native son of New York.
Big up, big New Yorker.
That's right.
East Coast. He was known as an East Coast one.
He was New York's big papa.
What a fool. What does she think, that because the George Washington Bridge is in New York, that that makes him a native son? Did she ever hear of Mount Vernon? Of course not. Okay, here, let's play Cut 31. This is from 2018.
No. And also, I will say, and we got to go, unfortunately, but in the at the Republican National Convention, the Republican Party decided not to arm Ukraine.
But Ukraine is armed, Jake Katie.
But they are armed, so that you could argue that. What, I don't know. We'll see what happens.
I don't know. I just said it because it's a Democrat talking point. It came in my email today from the DNC, so I said it. It's not true, but what the heck? Okay, so here she's going to get fact-checked again. This one's a little longer. This is about Claire McCaskill and her vote for a Supreme Court justice. Cut 30.
McCaskill voted for Gorsuch, did not vote for Kavanaugh. In talking about why she didn't vote for Kavanaugh, she had a bit of a different reasoning than most Democrats did. Here's her statement. I've been thorough in examining Judge Kavanaugh's record, and while the recent allegations against him are troubling and deserve a thorough and fair examination by the Senate Judiciary Committee, my decision is not based on those allegations, but rather on his positions on several key issues. Most importantly, the avalanche of dark anonymous money that is crushing our democracy. What is her vote on Kavanaugh? What is it doing for conservatives?
Well, it's a couple things. On the dark money stuff, she voted for John Roberts, okay? John Roberts had years of jurisprudence supporting the speech rights of... So if it was dark money, she's had a very recent come to Jesus on that.
Aaron, live from St. Louis, but hold on, before you start playing that. We have a fact check. That came to us from one of our students here. One of the Republican politicos that we had on earlier said that Claire McCaskill voted for John Roberts. John Roberts was confirmed in 2005. Claire McCaskill wasn't seated in the Senate until 2007. That is from Dorian right back there. Stay with us.
Good Lord. What a train wreck she is. She doesn't. She gets fact-checked by students on the air. 844-500-4242. That's the toll-free number of the Howie Carr Show. By the way, I just got to read a couple more things here before we go back to the phone lines. I'm reading a lot more about Virginia politics and current events since they got this new legislature down there with Democrat majorities for the first time in 15, 20 years. And, you know, they're passing all this anti-gun legislation, and it's just a real mess. And so they had like most legislatures, they have a pastor or a clergyman come in every day and before the session begins to deliver a prayer. And there was a big... a big controversy yesterday because a black minister came in and he's an evangelical, and he delivered a religious invocation, and the Democrats got very, very excited. Virginia lawmakers, Democrats, lashed out at a pastor who delivered a prayer at the House of Delegates, urging them not to induce God's anger and wrath while pushing through a chain of liberal bills. Reverend Robert M. Grant Jr., pastor of the Father's Way Church in Warrenton, Virginia, used his opportunity to speak out against a host of legislative initiatives involving homosexual marriage and abortion. During his prayer, Reverend Grant urged lawmakers in Virginia to stand for what was right within the eyes of God. You can see why they're getting excited, the delegates. Please do not provoke his anger and bring wrath upon this commonwealth by what you create as law, Grant stated. Biblical history is very clear. His wrath upon the earth is documented. We are not exempt. He then told the delegates... Again, this is the state where Governor Northam, the Klansman governor, has said that even though he's a pediatrician by trade, he wants to have infanticide is what it amounts to. He didn't call it infanticide. He told delegates, the reverend told delegates, all life is precious and worthy of a chance to be born. Every one of you sitting here today can guarantee these rights to all the little innocent children of Virginia. Grant added. And why are there so many abortion clinics near African-American communities? This is planned urban genocide, and you can change this. And then he talked about biblical definitions of marriage. Marriage is to join a biological male and a biological female in holy matrimony, Grant stated, not to provoke the wrath of Almighty God. It was at this point that Speaker Eileen Filler-Corn banged her gavel while the Democrat delegates were walking out, and she cut him off and began the Pledge of Allegiance. Defending his remarks outside, Reverend Grant said, I feel the State House belongs to all of the voters, and all of the voters have a choice. If I'm a pastor, what are you expecting from me? If you do not need to listen to what a pastor has to talk about, why did you invite me? He was invited by a Republican, obviously. Here's one other story from Virginia that I thought was pretty funny today. And again, I'm just reading more Virginia stories just to see what's going on down there as the new Democrat legislature tries to repeal the Bill of Rights. Authorities, deputies confront man wearing Ku Klux Klan robe. Stafford Courthouse, Virginia. A man seen wearing a Ku Klux Klan robe and a hood at a Virginia shopping center Tuesday told sheriff's deputies he was performing a social experiment, according to authorities. They saw this guy walking around with a Klan robe. They said, we didn't know the governor was going to be in town.
The Ku Klux Klan is the Ku Klux Klan.
You know, Governor Northam, there's a picture of him in his medical school yearbook. He's in blackface in one picture, or he's wearing a Klan outfit. He's never been made it clear which one he is. Is he the guy in blackface or the Klansman? It turns out it was a black man who was wearing the Klan outfit, not Governor Northam. Or could have been Governor Northam in blackface wearing the Klan outfit. They went to the Target in the Stafford marketplace around 2:30 p.m. to investigate reports of a Klansman. Deputies found the Klansman, identified him as a black man, and determined he didn't live in the area. What has that got to do with the price of tomatoes? Deputies warned him about wearing a mask in public, and he left the scene. Virginia law prohibits wearing masks with the intent to conceal identity in public. I wonder if that applies to Antifa, too. A photo posted to Twitter by a witness showed someone dressed in the Klan outfit, favored by the governor, talking to deputies while others looked on. Again, I mean, it's very confusing in Virginia, you know. I mean, you see a guy walking around in a Klan outfit in a shopping mall, and it could be the governor, and it could be a black guy. Or it could be the governor in blackface. Ron, you're next with Howie Carr. Go ahead, Ron.
Hey, I've been wanting to do this for a long time. How are you, Captain?
Captain? Good.
hey, I might need the voice changer there, Howie, because, you know, I was up in
Okay,
in the rally.
Well, hold on. Let's make sure we can turn on the voice changer. It takes a little while, you know. The voice changer is the witness protection program of the Howie Carr Show. As you can see from me talking, once I turn on the voice changer, you cannot recognize the voice of the person speaking. So you're
absolutely
all set now, Ron. You're safe.
So I'm from Duxbury. I had an opportunity last minute to go up and go to the rally, so I did it. You know, I'm a working stiff, so I had to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning and do all my emails and my work so I could leave at 11. I got up there. We got up there with a friend and her son, 38 years old. He's been to four of them. So we parked. We got in at 1:30, and now we got a little wait. But I just wanted to give you some of my observations. I got down on the floor and I was looking for Grace because he got down there and was looking and saw her. And I'm standing there, and this very good-looking, I thought she was a reporter, it was Kaylee McNamee, I think.
Oh, McEnany, yes, yeah.
McEnany, she's married to the baseball player, yeah. Anyways, she's just about to go up on the stage for a spot, and she's looking at me, and I got my phone, I'm looking around, where's Grace? And she says, you're looking for somebody? I said, well, yeah, I was looking for somebody. I said, who are you? She goes, I'm Kaylee. Would you like to take a picture? So I took a picture. I sent it to my 30-something kids, and they go, Dad,
you know who that is, you know?
Yeah, so we've got to actually, Ron, we've got a cut from Kaylee in the today. This is she's bragging about Trump's turnout. Hold on, here it is. Cut 25.
Go ahead. Yeah.
You know, President Trump last night had the highest voter turnout of any incumbent in four decades. He also had the highest percent of the vote of any incumbent in the past four decades. And when you juxtapose that against Bernie Sanders, who had the lowest vote total of any Democrat nominee in 68 years, it is quite something. The enthusiasm's on President Trump's side. Democrats, by the way, have a dumpster fire. They have a real mess on their side.
Yeah. She was great, Howie. I tell you what, the other general observation is that if you want to go to an event like that with 10,000 people and not get pushed and shoved and have people be polite to you, go to a friggin' Republican thing like that. Because if I was at a Democratic thing, I wouldn't be able to get in line. People wouldn't be nice to me. She says, here, I'll take a selfie with you, a bald-headed 60-something, you know. But I'm telling you, it was a one-in-a-lifetime thing. And then, obviously, to hear Trump, it was, like, surreal. I thought he, you know, I've always thought he's a little bit caustic and a little bit mean. You know what? When you're there, he tells it like it is. He tells it
right.
How can you fault that? You know what I'm saying?
Right. It's like somebody said who saw him at a Republican gathering down here said it's like one of these inspirational self-help Tony Robbins speeches mixed up with stand-up comic. I mean, you get the best of both worlds together, you know? And it really is an experience. And the fact that, you know, you said that this kid that was there, this is his fourth one. I mean, so many people now are saying this is my they're tracking these Trump rallies like people used to in the 80s and 70s used to track Grateful Dead concerts. You know, they follow them around and they go to, you know, they take a couple of days off so that they can just camp out and go to the concert or the rally in this case. And it's really a very big social event. And if you haven't seen one and you have a chance to get to a Trump rally, you really owe it to yourself because they really are unforgettable experiences. Thanks for the call, Ron. 844-500-4242. I'm Howie Carr.
Don't touch that dial. Howie Carr will be back after this.
This is Lynn in sunny Las Vegas.
This is Dan from the Moonbat capital of Jamaica Plain.
This is Gigi in Leominster, Massachusetts, and this is The Howie Carr Show.
Why did you say what you said in that 2015 speech?
I don't think those words reflect how I led the most diverse city in the nation, and I apologized for the practice and the pain that it caused.
I don't think he answered the question, did he, Mayor Bloomberg?
That was a very deep and long sigh.
What did you mean when you said, throw him up against the wall? I mean, whatever you think of stop and frisk, do you really want to be throwing people up against the wall? That's kind of what the DOJ and the FBI were trying to do to the Trump campaign. And we don't really appreciate that, do we, in the United States? And Mayor Bloomberg, when you say 95% of the murders are committed by young black men, really? Have you looked at the FBI crime stats?
But I also love how he says those words don't reflect the diverse or whatever he says. It's like, they're your words.
Right.
He's acting like he's criticizing a whole different person. We are literally playing your words back to you.
Yeah. You know, when you watch his campaign, though, and you watch his surrogates, these are the best people money can buy because he's now up to $350 million. You know, his expenditures are like that debt clock that they used to have in Times Square. It was just going around and around and around and around and around because we were running up the debt so fast. That's how fast he's spending money. I'm told that, on some of the streams on our radio stations, whenever we go to a break, Grace, it's a Bloomberg ad.
Oh, yeah,
I don't know how
everywhere.
Many stations. They are. They're everywhere. They're on the stream.
He's got Seba the dog, Howie, the dog that just won. He's voting for Bloomberg.
Talented dog.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to snort. It's been a long day. Guys, I have some really big news for Howie about McDonald's ice cream. But before I tell him that, I want to let everybody know one last time, because I know there's a lot of guys out there listening to the show who have probably been trying to write this down or keep saying, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. Today's the day. Valentine's is just 2 days away. You need to act fast with 1-800-Flowers.com. You can get 24-stem colorful rose medley for only $29.99, or upgrade, everyone loves an upgrade, to 24 red roses for only $10 more. They're gorgeous. Howie's looking at them right now. They're so beautiful, fresh, full flowers. To order, go to 1-800-Flowers.com and enter code Howie.
There you go.
Okay, so here's the update, Howie, and I know this is going to really mean a lot to you personally.
This is one of my pet peeves, as Grace well knows, as we ride around New England together going to remote events. Sometimes we stop at McDonald's, but there's always a problem, isn't there, Grace?
Yes, and the ice cream machine is
usually broken.
So one of the many things I've learned about Howie while traveling this beautiful country of ours together is his taste in music. His style of dance, which is mostly shoulders like Elizabeth Warren, and also that if an ice cream machine is broken, Howie will freak out. Luckily for him, there's new technology that will prevent the machines from breaking down.
Now there's yet another reason to go to McDonald's. The ice cream machines aren't going to be broken down every time we go there.
Exactly.
See you tomorrow. I'm Howie Carr.
There is only one Sunday every year that Bank Chevrolet Buick GMC is open. Being closed on Sundays throughout the year is important to our team and their